Ask the clerk to call the roll. Please.
Commissioner Moss.
Here.
Commissioner Kaye.
Here.
Commissioner Esselman is absent. Commissioner Broiley is absent. Commissioner Behrens. Vice Chair Prokowski is absent. Chair Wagner.
Here.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I don't see any reason to change it. Let's move right along to the director's comments.
Just a few comments, two comments actually today. One is that Aurora Rents has applied for a permit to build a building on the side of their former building, just right across the street from us. So that's in review right now. And the other is on Echo Lake, there's been a lot of discussion with the neighbors about a connection, and the owners have been talking with us and finally decided to build a staircase. So the staircase is built. And Steve, do you know if it's open? I know that Paul has been looking at it. But so that basically means that once that's approved, that you build it, and then you basically approve that part of the conditions have been done. Once that approves, basically, as far as I know, they will have completed the conditions for the rezone.
Cool.
So that's what I have.
That's it. All right, next item is approval of the minutes, but there weren't any minutes. I guess we should have noted that when the... it's changed the agenda. So we'll just move across that one. Next item on the agenda is general public comment. We have one esteemed member of the public who does not wish to comment at this point in time. Thank you for coming. Next item on the agenda, moving right along, 15 minutes ahead of schedule, is item 7A, or 7, staff reports, and we've got comprehensive plan amendments.
Staff. So as you recall, at the beginning of the year, February, March, the Commission Council adopted a docket of amendments, and there are several major amendments on there, but there's several minor amendments as well. And so tonight we're bringing the minor amendments to you. And Steve Safran is here with me, and we're going to tag team this a little bit and explain them. Our hope tonight is that you'll be comfortable enough with them to send them on to public hearing, and if that's the case, we can set a public hearing tonight. So the first amendment that we were discussing has to do with adding language about the Ballinger neighborhood in appropriate sections of the comprehensive plan where other neighborhoods are discussed. The genesis of this, as far as we can tell, is the introduction was basically written for the comprehensive plan the first time it was adopted, and I don't believe that Ballinger was part of the city at the time. There's some references to it, but no real discussion. So what this does is it adds references to Ballinger in the community profile section, which is page 21. We have a slight change in North City to actually bring that into conformance with what's going on in that definition. In the commercial area section on 23, and then on pages 148 and 149, it's actually just some minor tweaks to refer to Ballinger the correct way. So that's what the first one is about. Again, tonight we're going to be talking about preparing for the public hearing, so if you have anything you want to add, it would be a good time to do that, so when we advertise the public hearing, we can have the language down very specifically. Now, Steve is going to talk about 2 and 3, and I will come back and talk about number 4.
Is this working?
Try it again.
Okay.
Wait, try it again.
Hello? Okay. Thank you.
The poor reporter.
So the last page of your packet has a map which identifies parcels that the city has acquired that the map has not been, the comprehensive plan has not been changed to public open space. Cayucayuac, Krukenberg, and Southwoods, still, I believe, show as either low-density residential or private open space. So those designations need to be changed to public open space. And then the Strandberg Reserve on the west side of town, and then the parcel that's labeled Hamlin Park, it's actually just north of the big Hamlin Park. There's a shaded in area. Those need to be changed as well. Those were just labeled wrong on the map for years. So that amendment number two is to change those parcels to public open space. And then number three is when the city came through and rezoned all the RB parcels to mixed use. The RB needs to be deleted out of the comp plan, as well as we already did the zoning code, so now we're clean up and take it out of the comp plan.
Okay, now we get to something that's going to take a little bit longer to explain. This has to do with land use policies 17, 18, and 19. It says land use goal and policy, but it's actually only the policies. So the issue here is, how useful is it for the policies to talk about appropriate zoning designations? And in staff's view, it's more useful to basically try to define what this designation is trying to be. What's the vision for this designation? So that was our attempt as we put in our proposed language. Basically, in both mixed use and in the commercial land uses, the range of uses is so vast. Basically, in the mixed use land use, it allows virtually every use in the city except for R4 and R6. And commercial land use is somewhat similar, although it doesn't allow a few of the lower residential land uses, R4, R6, R8, R12, R8. It's our thought that it would make more sense to say, what is the vision? And as I said, we crafted language to do that. In LU 19, the regional business designation, now unlike the regional business zone, which occurs throughout the city, mostly along Aurora, but there are other places where it also occurs. The regional business zone. Well, no, I'm talking LU 19 right now.
Designation.
The designation actually only appears north of 185th, actually on both sides of Aurora. And when we were thinking about it, we realized that the town center is going to take up almost half of that, again, both sides of Aurora. And what we're left over is going to be this very small swatch north of the town center for about a 4 or 5 block stretch. And in looking at what the regional business designation is supposed to do, the actual vision that they have in LU 19 didn't make sense to us. That is to say, you really couldn't distinguish it from community business. So it's going to be our recommendation to actually eliminate the regional business designation and change the comprehensive plan map to show town center, the town center sub area, and ultimately the town center designation. And then north of that, we would suggest a CB designation. So I talked a little bit about where the other items of the docket are, and I can go through them very quickly. The Shoreline Master Program, we're in the final weeks of finalizing it in staff, and so we fully expect we'll be able to bring that to you by the end of the year. Point Wells, of course, the sub-area plan's been adopted. The actual zoning is waiting for the continuation of our discussions with Snohomish County, with the Point Wells folks, and with Woodway. The town center plan is is being worked on, and Mr. Cohen will be back to you, I believe, in about a month to talk about that. Southeast Neighborhood Subarea Plan has been adopted, and the implementation zoning you're going to be discussing next meeting. And then Public Health Lab has been adopted. So that pretty much covers the CPA docket, and I think Steve and I will be open to questions.
Mr. Barron, do you have any questions? I was going to say, you had an email that, do you want to, are you good with the?
Well, I have.
Mike?
I have some questions about LU 17, 18,
19. Are you on? I don't think you're on.
Am I on?
Kato.
We figured a way to
get you on. Smothers Brothers, tasting. I know I am. Okay. I have some questions about 17, 18, and 19. Course.
Isn't that all we're talking about? I'm just kidding.
First of all, a comment. LU 18 is preceded by with the word commercial land use. Inside LU 18, we have included the most highly intense residential development. That to me seems to be a contradiction. I don't know why we're talking about residential densities in commercial land use zones. I would make this comment. I think the section that you wish to include here belongs in LU 17 because that is the language, that's the concept that's going to support the zoning that's we've developed as MUSE. And that's the type of zoning that's going to wind up having the 100-plus dwelling units. So I would suggest that it's more appropriate to put that underlined portion at, you know, and then that's part of my suggestion. My other suggestion is that this starts off talking about commercial land use, but it only talks about community business designations. Aren't there other commercial land use designations? No, that's the only one.
Mixed use.
So let's.
It would all go under mixed use, right?
Yeah. Let's focus on the comprehensive plan, which is this map. And Steve's got a copy, and I've got.
We've got two comp plans up here.
My question is not about the map. It's not about where things are or where things aren't. My question is just very simply, what about our LU 18 is not included in LU 17? If community business is something that could go into a mixed use land designation, why do we have to identify one land use designation for one type of an application that's also included under LU 17?
Because we have to refer to the map, because the map shows you that the CB, that is, say, the red designation, is along most of Aurora, but there's also a little bit of purple designation, mixed use. So when we're talking about CB, the designation, it refers to areas that we will be allowing basically mixed use uses, but is currently designated community business. It's kind of an artifact of the way that the comprehensive plan works. Now I think you're right. I think that if we do this next year and go through this, we very well may redesignate land along Aurora that's not in town center as mixed use. But that's not what we're working with right now. Right now we're working with the map. So we have to be looking at the map every time we look at the definition for the map.
Gotcha. Would not the same thing apply to the changes that you're proposing north of 185th, which currently have a map designation as regional business? It seems like you're proposing to delete those. Mm-hmm. Those are currently on the map. I mean, Steve, I think you understand where I'm going with this.
I understand.
Don't see that there is a need for these two designations. I think the one covers both land uses, and all it does is produce a whole bunch of confusion. And whether we fix it now or we fix it in a year from now or 5 years from now, it would be my hope that at some point in time we can reasonably come up with with land use designations that actually describe what they are.
Yeah.
And then spell out what they can be used for.
Well, I agree. And it was my feeling in looking through the comprehensive plan and looking on the map that the mixed use designation actually is supposed to be more of a transition zone, whereas the community business designation is supposed to be more of an intent zone. But that's just a guess, you know, me coming in 4 years ago and looking at the map, and I wasn't around 8 years ago and whenever it was that they actually came up with these. So maybe one idea would be to change this and basically suggest deleting LU18 and LU19 and just have a mixed-use land designation that goes up and down Aurora, except for, well, right now it includes Town Center, but when you actually pass Town Center, you know, 6 months from now, that would be cut out of it.
But even the Town Center designation would still be a mixed-use land designation, wouldn't it?
It could be. I mean, that could be the decision that comes out of this, is that for the sub-area itself, you don't want to have a special designation. You just want to call it mixed use. That could be.
But even if it was called something other than mixed use as part of the sub-area plan, it still would be, for all practical purposes, it might be called something else, but it still would be a mixed
right.
land use area.
It would be. It's just kind of a question of whether you want to call it out specially or not. That would be your choice or the council's choice ultimately. But you're right. It would be a mixed use area. That the intent is very much that it be mixed use and that it not be just singly either commercial or residential that have a mix of uses.
I mean, I think the real discussion here should be whether or not we want to have. I mean, is there value in having a commercial land use that separates residential use? Okay, and if that's the case,
can you explain what you mean before?
Okay, if we're going to have a commercial land use, a commercial land use is retail. It's commercial. That's what it is. If we're going to have that,
you're saying that would should exclude then, housing.
Then it should exclude housing. If we're going to allow for a mixed use throughout these zones, then why spell out something that literally really doesn't exist? It's not there.
That would be another way to go. I guess my thought is if you wanted to go that way, that would be something we really would want to talk about next year when we do the general comp plan update rather than as part of the so-called minor amendment. But it would be a reasonable discussion to have, I think.
I mean, not to totally dominate this, I'm not giving anybody else a chance to talk here, and that's not fair. But that was one of the issues in the Southeast sub-area plan. Mm-hmm. Some of the people that presented that thing said, we want commercial zones. We want property that's set up where there's only a commercial application. Now, if that's something that the city decides or the people in the city decide that is a valuable guide or a valuable entity, then we ought to have a land use designation that's specifically spelled out so they can get to that point from the comprehensive plan to the zoning. If that's not something that we want to do, then I don't see the need for this. And other than that, then I'm done.
I think that's appropriate.
Commissioner Kaye?
Yeah, I guess to pick up on that thread, what concerns me about the concept of perhaps, while I share this question about commercial and do we, you know, should we or shouldn't we, I think that is an important discussion for us to have, and I think probably appropriately next year, because that is a big question, shouldn't we have some areas that are just commercial? And I might go along with that. But if you look at the map right now, there are currently mixed use designations in places very much different than Aurora. And I'd be concerned that we, if we were to say, well, there's one mixed use designation, we have it over there on 185th and 8th. Let's see, what is that, 5th and 165th, 175th and 10th, is that what that looks like? That's odd. In any case, so I'm not comfortable sort of with the idea that, well, we should just call it all mixed use. I think we do need to, unless we have mixed use one and two like we do with zoning, but I mean, I think we do need to provide some kind of discrimination between what's on Aurora and places like Aurora, perhaps Ballinger Way, and what's in the sort of neighborhood centers that we've talked about. So I do share Commissioner Barron's concern, though, about this. What are we saying if we're specifically calling out? I mean, it kind of took me aback a bit to see this. I could exceed 100 dwellings per acre. That kind of came out of nowhere, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure that even if we have talked about that in certain places and in certain cases about having some very high densities, I'm not sure that. I think this is a pretty dramatic change just in language for the comp plan to say that in these places it could be over 100 when previously it said R48, for example, for a residential. That might be more than a minor cleanup amendment in my view to add that unit count.
If I could respond very quickly, the reason for this change was to delete the thing that says high density residential, small h, small d, which some people said, well, that does limit to 48 units an acre when with the adoption of the MUZ zone, it doesn't anymore. So I think if we come up with some other verbiage, which I'm not sure that very high density works, but some other verbiage to say, we're not talking about 48 units an acre, we're talking about it can exceed that in some places.
Well, I might recommend then that we use something like densities higher than what would be that are sort of incorporated in some of our exclusively residential zones. That tells you right then that it could be higher than R48.
Yep.
We don't have to set a fixed number. We've talked about, you know, higher density, bigger developments. That's fine. I'm not opposed to those and sort of as any matter of principle or something, but instead of throwing this number out there, I think if we just make it clear that this could have residential densities that are higher than what would be allowed in any of our purely residential zones.
Commissioner Barron's.
Now, are you proposing that language stay in the current LU18, or are you happy with my idea of moving it into LU17?
Well, I don't see us eliminating LU18 right now, so I don't have a problem having it in there for now, except that I don't like this reference to 100. I'd rather, if the point is for now to describe that we could have, you know, to the extent that there's residential in those designations, it could be higher density than what we allow in purely residential zones, that's fine. But I think there is a bigger question here about for the future about whether we are eliminating sort of a preference for purely commercial in some of these areas. I mean, it seems like we're kind of pushing mixed everywhere and not sort of setting aside areas that we want to be purely commercial. That's a bigger question that's probably not part of the cleanup amendment process.
Commissioner Moss?
Well, and I support Commissioner Barron's concern that if and kind of the rest of the discussion that if commercial is really separate from mixed use, mm-hmm. then it does seem like we're muddying the waters talking about residential in there, and that may be more appropriate to go to mixed use because that really would be mixed use. And I also think that Commissioner Skye's concern about 100 that could exceed 100 dwellings per acre, that doesn't really seem like a cleanup. I mean, it may seem like a clarification in context, but if I were looking at this otherwise, I can see where developers or whoever might take that, oh, well, now 100 has become a new standard. And I don't know that that was our intent here. It seems like that is of a bigger scale and something that we might want to address as part of a comprehensive plan update as opposed to clarifying language. So,
yeah, I think you know, staff certainly supports the modification, which would say something like it provides for taller buildings with retail office and service uses and residential densities higher than what's currently allowed in purely residential areas. We don't have a problem with accepting that.
Mr. Burns?
I know you have a feeling that including the potential possible zoning for these things is a bad idea. But if you did it under RU-17, okay, you could delete any reference to building size, density, any of those things by including appropriate zoning designations for areas include, you could list all of the areas that potentially have mixed-use land designations, which would include the Muse Zone, the new Muse Zone, community business, mm-hmm. and all of the other ones. And that way, you would not have to spell out. I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, the broad outline, and then you go to the development code, mm-hmm. you step from here down to the next thing.
Right.
So if you laid out what development, what zoning designations would fall under this land use, you could then go to the, you know, the development code and get the and see how you could get to the various levels of Muse based on a development code. Or you can get to the community business designation, which allows for R48, I believe, unless you make one of these, you know, steps when you make these changes. Mm-hmm. So it would be implied. It would be an outline that would show the potential uses under it. And that way it also would cover the problem of being vague enough to apply to all of the different areas of the whole city where mixed land use applications could be used.
Right. Right. No, but I guess, I mean, I think that that's probably what the folks that put this in originally were thinking. And when we're looking at it and someone comes in on one of these properties that's designated MUZ or mixed use, excuse me, designated mixed use and currently zoned, let's say, R8, at the bottom, and they come in and they say, we think we ought to be community business. I mean, we would like to be able to say, wait a minute, you know, look at what the vision for this designation is. This is supposed to be a transition zone, and you're next to R6. It doesn't make any sense that you're community business. It would make sense, you know, someone closer to, let's say this is down by Sears, someone closer to Sears is community business, but you're a block away. So we think that the intent of the comprehensive plan designation language should be to help us explain to folks why the zoning that they think they want either makes sense or doesn't make sense. And what my intent was by adding language to make it clear what was supposed to happen in this zone or in this designation.
Yeah, and you've seen that in the past where people have come in with rezones and it complies with the comp plan. It says appropriate zoning could be RB. Or at that time, RB, MUZ, when it's clearly it's not appropriate.
Well,
so
in this case, it could be as low as R8.
Yeah, so what do you decide? I mean, you don't know where the point is of what's appropriate
sure whether,
when they're all appropriate under
yeah,
this.
Well, I'm not sure that R8 or R12 designations are either appropriate for community business or for mixed use.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
are residential yeah. designations.
Well, so
and
is R48,
BB is,
though.
Pardon?
But so would R48. I mean, R48 would be a residential designation,
well,
too. But
You can do more with a piece of R48 property, and I mean, you're right, it is, it's got a residential number on it, but certainly something like R8 or R4 or even R12, I mean, somewhere between R12 and R18, it seems like the size of the parcel itself would eliminate the ability to use that for any kind of commercial application or mixed-use application, unless you had six adjacent R12 properties and you wanted to come in and build something across all of them, in which case I think they probably ought to come in and ask for a rezone.
Sure,
anyway.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean,
it's just, I guess, a slightly different philosophy that you know, since the size of the lot is not exactly a criteria for zoning, it makes us tough. You know, again, it makes it tough for us to say, you only have 8,000 square feet, you can't come in for community business. I mean, that's just, they can come in and ask, you know, they can ask for whatever they ask for. It's a question of, you know, can they ultimately make their case? And we would like to be able to say, the comprehensive plan, you know, it makes it very unlikely that you can make your case. So, we could go either way. Our preference is to try to do it through narrative.
Well, this is the study session, and I don't want to take up the whole thing. I mean, other people have things to say. I certainly think I've got my what I'm thinking about has certainly been covered.
The other idea I guess I had is you know, currently right above LU 17, it says mixed use land use. You know, we could basically change that to say mixed use and commercial land uses, and then include LU 17, and LU 18. Maybe that would be kind of a short term, real quick fix right now.
Just those two, or would you?
Well, so commercial land use. Let's go to what page is this on, Steve?
30.
Page 30.
In the comprehensive plan.
Above
17. I can project it if you.
Yeah, we could. Should we do that?
Let's see if I can get it to work over here. It's
So can you project from your? Let's see if this works.
The last meeting I couldn't. Let's see if I can today.
But basically, after LU 19, it's no longer talking about designations. For example, there is no real definition for industrial. It just doesn't exist. So let's let Jessica see if she can
press select.
Work her magic.
Optimal resolution, that
there
might adjust your thing.
Yeah, this is about as good as I can get in.
Now you guys can see it.
So you can. Yeah, we can make it bigger, right? By the 40%, we can make that.
I'm having trouble with screen resolution.
Well, 60s. How's it? Does 60 work for you guys? Is that easier?
Well, I can't see that anyway. I'm looking at the screen.
Can you see it on the screen?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, it's fine on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, we're good. We've got good.
Okay, so basically the way this works, let's go back to like LU 14, I guess. Or LU 12, maybe. No, actually even before then. LU 8. Okay, so LU 8 is where it talks about residential land use, and then it has a whole series of policies. And then right under LU 16, it has the mixed use heading. And then an LU with one policy, an LU 8, as say LU 17 policy, and then right above LU 18, it has the heading commercial land use. So one thing to do would be to just change the mixed use to mixed use and commercial, and then eliminate the commercial for LU 18 and have that apply to two policies rather than just one each.
So you're saying change the heading to say mixed and commercial land uses.
Mixed use, yeah.
Then keep LU 17 and LU 18.
Right, and still eliminate 19.
Then it goes on to 20. Does that...
20 actually doesn't have anything to do with... It doesn't have a heading, but it has nothing to do with commercial land uses.
Can we put a heading on it?
I don't think.
Are you saying that would create a renumbering process for all the rest of that?
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking more that if you read it...
Yeah, maybe it is.
Shouldn't it have a heading?
No, okay. Well,
it does
wait
talk
a minute.
About
it is about
areas,
business.
Yeah.
I mean, if
yeah,
you look at that in 21
actually,
and 22, it's,
yeah,
it's
actually,
it is
totally
talking about that.
So we so we could have commercial land use start at LU, above LU 20. Could do that.
Or you take Commissioner Behrens and just delete commercial, since they're both the same policy, basically.
I just don't see that much difference between 17 and 18.
There is no difference.
I really don't.
There isn't. Because we don't have a commercial-only zone, so I don't know why we have a commercial-only land use.
Well, but I think that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I do see what Steve's... point is on the indication that the mixed land use really was intended to be. I mean, if you look at the map, it's clear to see that it was, there was clearly the red stuff, which was the community business, which was supposed to be pretty high intensity, and then the purple, which is mixed use, which is supposed to be in the neighborhoods, but still commercial. But it's commercial in neighborhoods. It's not.
It allows the same densities as far as zoning goes. It doesn't.
Yeah.
There's no distinction.
Yeah.
Well, mixed use has R8. Commercial land use starts at R12.
Well, yeah.
So actually, the more intensive one, you could theoretically use on a smaller parcel of land.
You could.
Very unlikely.
Sure.
So I think part of the question then becomes, if we're looking at the fact that there's not a significant difference, is that really just a minor update to re-look at the headings, the descriptions? Commissioner Kay?
I have to say the more I look at this, the less comfortable I am with several of the proposed changes. If we take what we just said of this idea of maybe eliminating the commercial land use or the community business designation because it's the same pretty much as mixed use, and then we're also talking about ditching LU 19 altogether, I feel like we're making some pretty broad stroke kind of recommendations here. I do agree with what Steve Cohen was saying earlier about, you know, trying to use narrative to describe what we're trying to accomplish. The fact that right now they kind of say the same thing, maybe that's the problem, and we do need to provide better narrative to separate them. But I'm getting a little squeamish about the idea of saying, oh, well, you know what, they pretty much say the same thing, so let's go from 3 to 1. I'm not sure that makes sense as part of a sort of cleanup to the comp plan. The other thing I'm getting less comfortable with now as part of this discussion is this idea that at this stage of eliminating the recommendations on zoning. And it's not because I'm enamored with them being there, but if we do get rid of all those, and it's going to take a while before we come through and do the major comp plan amendment, we're going to have, I could see that raising a lot of questions about, well, what guidance is there for what kind of zoning we sort of envision in these particular areas. So that seems to me to, you know, at first I thought, well, okay, if we can just provide some narrative, that's okay. But I'm getting a little uncomfortable even with that concept, since that's how it's been in the past. And I feel like it's the narrative, perhaps, that's lacking in discrimination. And we should work on that. But until that's fixed, you know, I feel a little squeamish about eliminating the zoning recommendations. I'm going to make one comment before I forget. It's a little bit different than what we've talked about so far, but in your staff's recommendation to eliminate 19, to me the verbiage around industrial is different. The regional business one, LU 19, says some industrial uses. The previous community business says some limited industrial uses might be allowed under certain circumstances. That sounds a whole lot like, you know, sort of special use permit type stuff, and maybe that's fine, but it's different. And, you know, are we, again, the question is if we eliminate 19, then it seems that you could only have industrial anywhere under very limited restrictive circumstances. And there are lots of industrial uses that are not, you know, heavy industry or, you know, risks to public health or even neighborhood character. You might be, you know, there's lots of light industry and assembly type stuff. So I would want us to address that before we, perhaps it means changing the language in the commercial land use one to make it a little more reasonable. But right now it feels like we're kind of ditching the possibility of industry altogether, and except in very rare circumstances.
I think that's a valid point, and certainly we'd be open to the idea of changing that sentence. I'd have to ask Mr. Saffron about with his knowledge of the code, are there certain industrial uses that are allowed in what is now MUZ RB, and not and as a conditional use in community business? Do you know off the top of your head, Steve? It could very well have been that there was great intent when they adopted this 5 or 8 years ago, and no one ever followed through, made any change to the land use code, so it may not be really any different. But in any case,
WCB doesn't allow industrial where MUZ
allows light.
Does.
But
light industrial.
But things like auto sales, boat sales,
yeah,
nurseries, I believe those are all allowed in CB. And we'd have to check that out. But in any case, I think you're right that we probably, if the commission chooses to get rid of to delete LU19, you'd want to rewrite LU18 to make it a little less restrictive, at least in the narrative.
Have we given you guys enough to think about here in terms of looking at these three things?
We have, I think, a lot to think about. And so I guess the question for you, if you think you're ready to go to hearing, we could have a hearing either with or without the zoning on LU 18 and 19. We as staff will change the focus on residential to talk about residential uses higher than allowed in purely residential areas. We'll lighten up some of the language on industrial and still propose to delete 19 and have a public hearing on that.
Commissioner Kaye?
Yeah, I guess I see a lot of, you know, good things in the attempts at the changes here, but it seems to me like it's raising many more questions that require, I think, it'd be nice to have not only the full commission, but more thought given to it. I think my recommendation on this set of amendments, the batch 4, I guess, number 4? Yeah.
Yes, number 4.
Is to, I don't feel it's ready for public hearing. I think it's a little too confusing right now. It seems like it's a kind of a domino set of amendments that really should be thought of in a broader context in terms of our, you know, we're about to sort of, from a planning perspective, transform Town Center. That's going to have its own kind of effects on, well, what do we want the other things around it to look like? You know, these categories probably might change. We might create some new ones. I just feel like we're tinkering with something that could lead to unintended consequences. And I'm, you know, the more I think about it, I don't think this particular set is ready for hearing.
Okay. Does the rest of the commission have thoughts one way or the other on that?
Commissioner Barnes?
I think I agree with Commissioner Kaye. I don't think this is ready to go to hearing. I think you I think we've had a good dialogue and a conversation here about some of the problems that are involved with this, and I think that perhaps you guys could walk away from here and with a couple of hours come up with some language that might be better than what we're looking at here. I would be reluctant to see it go to a hearing until we've had a chance to look at, you know, I think we need to take another look at it at least once. Mm-hmm. And I agree that having the rest of the plan, the rest of the commission here to look at it would be a good idea. I don't think we're really far away, and I don't think this is that difficult to do. But I just don't have a comfort level feeling that we've got everything here that needs to be addressed.
Commissioner Moss?
I agree. I concur. I think that we need to see in a more formalized language what we're really talking about. And if there's a way that we can eliminate one of them, that's fine, but I think we need to make sure we've addressed all the issues. And I agree with Commissioner Kaye that there's a lot of change coming very quickly, so we don't want to do something that does create unintended consequences, that we then have to make a substantial amount of changes in other areas or come back and redo this again.
Okay.
Well, I have a couple thoughts on this. The first one is actually sort of a question on, was this a staff brought forward, or was this specifically to address someone else's concern? Because one of the things I think that we have heard a lot about is that little H, little D for high density. And I think that that would not be inappropriate, but that would be something that might be appropriate to consider what Commissioner Kaye was suggesting, that we I was a little uncomfortable with the 100 dwelling units because I thought that was a little too fixed, but I also know that particular issue has been something we've talked about a lot. And so to say, you know, I mean, I don't know that we would, talking about it more isn't going to necessarily come up with a different solution. So I don't know if we maybe wanted to make, would that be something that we could maybe consider as a minor enough adjustment to clarify the intention there? Because I think that it, for all practical purposes, that's the way the commission has always interpreted it. And that's how the zoning code.
That's how the council interpreted it as well, which is why the zoning code was changed to allow.
So zoning code is a competent. So this, I think this has been a sort of logical circular argument for certain members of the community that have felt that this wasn't consistent with other decisions that we've made. And if I need to clarify, there's a lot of history on this one.
There's some background to those words, right.
Commissioner Kaye.
I guess what I would say is, you know, if we made the change I proposed to that sentence about just saying that it could have densities higher than, then let's be real specific that it, I mean, if we're not going to move these bigger changes to hearing, then my assumption is we're leaving the appropriate zoning designations language in for now. If we're just talking about changing this one sentence about where currently says 100 dwelling acres, then what I would say is be even more explicit. Say that, you know, the density of dwelling units could exceed the densities of dwelling units that are, you know, sort of permitted in this very zone. In other words, I mean, just make it real clear that since it's going to list appropriate zoning designations that go up to R48, to say that, you know, it could have dwelling units higher than listed for this designation in a purely residential land use. So that kind of tells you that it could be, it might be a mixed or some other, it could be a, you know, muse, it could be a community business, something like that, which could allow, you know, it's not limited by R48. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay with suggesting that one change if we're leaving the other things as is for now, because I really feel like we're kind of going into some sketchy territory and would rather have these other discussions about eliminating zoning recommendations and eliminating entire sections as part of the actual comp plan update.
So then on LU 17, 18, and 19, the only change to the zoning will be to strike regional business and replace it with MUZ. I mean, since you're keeping in the zoning designations, we'll have, that change will have to be made.
Right.
We don't have RV anymore.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's true. So each of those appropriate zoning designations clauses that mention regional business should say instead MUZ, because that is a cleanup.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't know that I haven't heard anything that says that this other amendment text where the striking of Point Wells and then even the addition in the mixed use under LU-17, that addition doesn't seem to necessarily be controversial. I think the concerning part is taking out that other part and LU-19. So I don't know that I've heard anyone say that there's anything concerning about the sentence that starts the designation should be reflected in zoning standards on LU-17. I mean, I think that gets sort of builds the bridge maybe to help us with the next time we come back and look at it. Not that I'm trying to give an opinion per se, but I haven't heard anyone.
I guess I would agree that that's appropriate for hearing. That change, I think, is,
okay.
I mean, I think you're right. It could help us start kind of moving towards better narrative on each of these to then prep us for addressing it, you know, more fully as part of the
And if a rezone comes in, it'll help sort of guide that
That's
discussion
right.
as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that's a very productive discussion, Commissioner Behrens.
I still don't agree that LU-18 is the proper place to talk about high-density residential use. It's a commercial application. It should be about commercial applications.
Yeah, but that's not a cleanup issue. That's a big. I mean, I agree with your concern, but we're about to launch into that. Remember our work plan with our like 18-month long.
Don't worry
plan
about this other
process.
Thing that's going to happen.
Okay, but if you read the existing LU-18,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what staff was trying to fix. Is that it doesn't quite.
It doesn't, the current LU-18, unless I'm missing it, retail office and server use, and high density residential uses.
Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say
yeah.
R-12, R-48, and R-18. Do we even have R-24?
Yeah, well.
I think we will fix that problem.
The other thing that makes absolutely no sense, and I'll say it again, is that mixed-use land designations, which are most our intense use, start at R8, and mm-hmm. a commercial application, which is a less intense use, you have to have R12. And I would just point that out. I mean, if we're going to, I don't see the point of fixing something and then fixing it again and then fixing it again.
Okay.
One thing that might be helpful, and I'm thinking about this more in the context of the more wholesale sort of full look at the comp plan, is I suspect that some of these, and I could be wrong, I suspect that some of these land use designations when they listed appropriate zoning mm-hmm. may have listed some because that's what's there.
I believe that was the case.
Mixed use, but they know there's some R8 and they didn't want to create a situation where you have basically a conflicting use. So one thing that would be useful for us is to get some, and this ought to be actually fairly easy, but get a kind of, you know, listing or an analysis from staff for these non-residential land use designations. You know, how much of an issue might we have with that? In other words, how many R8s are there actually
2 points,
in places that are mixed? You know, it's very unlikely that if somebody would convert to R8 in one of those places from what's already, let's say, CBNB, I mean,
but
let's understand, you know, because we might be able to eliminate some of those low density residential numbers, you know, without even impacting anybody's current
or future intended use.
Well, at least their current. Part of what we're doing is affecting their future use, but what we don't want to do is create a thing where suddenly somebody's property is inconsistent, you know, because they happen to be there. So, do you understand what I'm getting at in terms of an analysis?
Right, and again,
I know that's
when
not
we
a
talk about the big picture,
yeah.
I you're right, I don't think it takes a long time to do, although I'll talk to our new GIS person
I mean, it's a,
ask him.
It's a pretty simple interceptor and overlay of doing the land use designation with the zoning.
But I think it's part of a larger discussion, so yeah. it won't be immediately.
That's soon. A great idea. Okay.
So having said that, I'm now starting to hear maybe things would be ready for a public hearing. And there hasn't been any discussion on the first three.
The very controversial Ballinger.
The very controversial Ballinger one.
It's so controversial, no one's even brought it up.
Yeah, I don't know how we can strike the word road and change that to way northeast.
I think we ought to strike the Ballinger neighborhood from the city of Charlotte. Oh. And then we won't have to fix the code.
Right.
Then we won't have to fix the comp plan.
Is that because Commissioner Powell's no longer here? Commissioner Moss? So, humor doesn't translate well for the transcription, yeah. I guess.
So I guess...
I wondered where Ballinger Road was. I thought,
am I not familiar with the city?
So then we can go forward on 1, 2, 3, and 4 with some changes to... Yes.
Essentially, although I... when I was looking at this under... I have no questions or concerns about 1 or about Ballinger. That's pretty straightforward. Under North City, my question was, when I looked at the other neighborhood descriptions, they talked about where their location was, so I wasn't quite sure what the premise was behind removing the language of located in the northeast portion of the shoreline area. I don't know that it's important that it's there.
Well, it's no longer in the northeast portion. When this was written, before the Ballinger neighborhood was annexed, it was the northeast portion, but now it isn't. Now it's kind of central, north, okay. I guess, east central or something.
Okay. Well, and I would, so if we're going to remove that, I would clarify what the northern boundary is. We talk about I-5, which is its western boundary, northeast 175th, which is its southern boundary, am I correct? And the eastern edge is the city.
We can. I'd have to check with our neighborhood guru to find out where the splitting point is, but we can add that certainly.
Well, it just seems like to be consistent with the other neighborhood descriptions.
Having some familiarity with where these proposed changes came from, the reason that the northern boundary is not listed there, nor is really the not very clearly the southern boundary of Ballinger, is that it's a very irregular boundary that follows about 10 different streets. It's not a nice clean line like any of the other boundaries. One thing I noticed, and this is, it's a while ago since I read these sections, but the full section of the comp plan, but there is a section where they talk about pretty much just the boundaries, sort of where are the neighborhoods, and then there's a separate section where they talk about kind of what are those neighborhoods like. And I don't know if maybe you've got some of those in mind, because it's true, some of these are like this North City, especially with that clause taken out, it's very short, but this, as I recall, was from a section that was just about defining.
Can you turn to 21, page 21 there? It's actually most of them are pretty short. Mm-hmm. Richmond Beach, I guess, doesn't even have.
Yeah, so this page 20 of the current plan is where it just describes the boundaries of each one.
Right.
And then somewhere later, I think, in the neighborhoods that have some commercial in them, there is more discussion. I guess that's that page 23 or something, where those neighborhoods get a little more airtime to describe what kind of commercial they have. 22.
What page?
It
didn't work.
It's page 20 of the actual document.
Okay, there you go. That starts part of the neighborhoods, and this first part just describes their boundaries. So this is where that first North City that change to North City is, if you scroll down just a little bit more, right there.
Well, maybe to clarify that, I see under Briarcrest it says this area is east of the Ridgecrest neighborhood, and maybe it would be that this area is south of the Ballinger neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get into the description
right.
of exactly where that is, but some sort of a parameter that somebody who's reading this that doesn't have to pull out the map would have.
Right next to it. I mean, it's the next page.
Yeah, well, I guess.
If they're reading it.
Right.
Hopefully they'll. All the North City seems to be.
But I think, isn't.
Yeah, I mean, we could instead of that strike through, we could just say it's located south of the Ballinger neighborhood and is bounded by I-5 northeast 175th, eastern edge of the city, something like that.
Right. I'm just looking for it to be a little more consistent in that it does delineate where it's at. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not an enormous issue, something that as I was reading through before I got the packet, I went, that's interesting that it's not described in the same manner. And I also had noticed that Ballinger was missing and thought, poor Ballinger.
Sure, we can make that change.
Okay. My only other comment that I had in number one was I would, where the last sentence under commercial areas, and it says that the diverse mix of businesses in the district serves not only the local neighborhoods, I would add in shoreline, because then you go on to say, but also the residents of neighboring Montlake Terrace and Lake Forest Park. I think it's just a clarifying sure. issue that shoreline is, Montlake Terrace and Lake Forest Park are their own separate communities.
Yeah, good point.
I think that's a good change.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Barron says one extra item that he noted was an inconsistency that can either go with this or not.
Okay.
This is what happens when you look through this book. You find things. On page 22.
Minor things. But this would be under commercial areas, a cleanup.
Under commercial areas on page 22, it refers to a whole bunch of commercial areas, the last paragraph. Other commercial areas include North City, Ridgecrest, Richmond Beach, Ballinger, the North City Business District, 15th Avenue Northeast, North 170th, North 185th. If you go to LU18, it refers to the Aurora Corridor, North City, and Ballinger Road. It lays all those other commercial areas out. And I was wondering when I was thinking about this, it would seem to me that there are probably community business designations in those areas as well. Right there? Go back to LU18.
Okay, yeah.
I would actually just ask staff to take a look and see if there's some inconsistency that we could easily rectify by so making that a correct cross-reference.
Yeah, they only mentioned three sections.
Rather than trying to solve that.
You see what I'm saying?
We'll double-check and make the changes where appropriate.
As long as we're trying to fix that, we might as well include all the other.
That's a good idea.
So what happens when you look through this book.
All right. That sounds like a great idea. Any other last comments on that? Because I think we've kind of covered.
On the other ones, there are fine. And, where you talked about modifying, and I know that it says the following items on the CPA docket are not included in this amendment. You mentioned modifying the text in LU 43 regarding public health being a 12-acre, which would mean that you need to reduce the amount in fir crests. So I think that's associated with number 9.
That's correct.
So again, it's
actually in the proposal. It wasn't in the original docket. This was kind of a cut and paste thing, but
right.
I think you're right. We should change it to be consistent.
And I don't know, when I had read through some of that information under LU 43, I kind of wasn't really clear when they were talking about I know Food Lifeline is part of that, and I don't know that it needs to be called out, but it just seemed like that. I wasn't clear if they were referring to that. And again, that was when I was reading through this before I actually got the packet that I went, that seems
We'll check that. I mean, Food Lifeline is on the Public Health Lab campus, but I don't.
Right.
We'll check that out and make sure everything's consistent.
Right. That was just my thought. It might be helpful.
Those are all my comments. Excellent attention to detail.
That's because you've been trying to read these over the time. You just
sits by my bedside, so.
Ooh.
10 pages, I'm ready
riveting.
To go to sleep.
All right. I think that looks like we've got
okay,
stuff, so,
so
let's.
So if this, if you're comfortable with it, we'll set the hearing date for November 4th.
Cool.
Okay.
Works for me.
That work for everybody?
Everyone else? Mm-hmm.
Great.
Sounds good. All right. Next item on our agenda is public comment. Crickets? All right. Item number 9, director's report. Is there more to?
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Number 10, unfinished business. You do have something to add.
Yes. So I was hoping that we could spend a little time following up from last week's discussion, talking about public outreach. There's a couple things that we talked about in-house and maybe some additional things that you'll want to talk about tonight as well. The first takeaway we had from that was that you would like something added to the reverse side of the agenda, talking about, you know, what is this? Is it a study session? Is it a public hearing? And given what it is, what are the rules and what can people expect? And we're writing that up. I have kind of part of a first draft that I started, and we should have that ready, I'm hoping, for the next public hearing. The city council had this handout that I think you all saw, and it's a little bit more detail than I want to get into, but using some of the same ideas, I think we can do that kind of thing. So just wanted to get your agreement that that's a good thing for us to be doing.
Yeah, I think so. One idea I have, though, apart from sort of putting some text on the back, which I think is great, I mean, it would be good to just maybe have some, you know, some canned text that you wouldn't have to read at every meeting, but we have those certain meetings when you get a lot of citizens who don't usually come, and it would be just sort of, what is the Planning Commission? Just briefly, the chair could read, not, you know, as perhaps rigidly as for a public hearing on a quasi-judicial matter, but just to explain what we're doing here and maybe refer people to then some text on the back of the agenda or something like that. You know, if we have a, you know, quiet evening where the only people who are here are people that have been here many times, that wouldn't be necessary. It wouldn't have to be a, you know, something we read every time. But I think that would be useful, and, you know, it would just inform folks on what it is we're up to and who we are in terms of being, you know, volunteer residents and all that, as opposed to, I don't know what they think we are, but
elected officials.
Well,
we got an email today that
I didn't even have to campaign. Awesome.
I didn't get this. Mr. Barrett's?
I had an opportunity to read Miranda's little note that she sent out to the Southeast. I'm on her email chain,
right,
I believe.
Right, right.
She sent out something to the Southeast area people,
mm-hmm.
Talking about the next step in the process for them, which would be some sort of study session.
Right.
And she explained what a study session was. And she did it very precisely, and I thought it was very well done. So you might, in terms of trying to find something, you might look at what Miranda sent out. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, yeah, that's a good thought.
Rather than write it yourself.
Yeah, you know, you can steal her thunder and claim all the good for it.
No, no.
Stay in the glory.
No, she will claim the glory for herself, I'm sure.
Commissioner Moss, do you have anything?
Okay, that's one thing. Second takeaway was the idea that you wanted to go out on the road at times and have sessions on the road. We talked about this, and there's a bit of a logistical question, basically having to do with recording. So we're thinking it really would be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to have public hearings on the road. But to have a study session, maybe a couple times a year. I mean, I, don't want to commit too much to Jessica here. Because it still has to be recorded. But it's not that important to make sure we get everything on tape where in a public hearing it is. So the idea is we would talk with you and set up ahead of time. If for example, we're talking, let's say, about the neighborhood commercial district zoning, so we might go to Richmond Beach out there and talk and have a study session there and talk about that, and then people could come and offer their ideas. We think that's workable. You know, we haven't done it yet, but theoretically, we think it's workable.
Yeah, you know, I think that's very appropriate, too. I think the study session would be the perfect place to have that. I can see how trying to have a hearing someplace else would be really difficult. But I think if we had a study session someplace in people's neighborhoods, if they came in, if we could get them involved in being able to come and talk to us, there would probably be more of a turnout for the hearing because they would be able to listen to each other's ideas, see what the process was, and then they'd be more likely to come follow through and see how it all ended up. So I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And still call it a study session?
Yeah.
Or an open house?
Oh, I think we would have an actual meeting out there, and it would be a study session. So it would be under our rules.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just know in the past we've talked about study sessions being more of a work session for the Planning Commission.
Yeah, you're right. We may want to think about
what we call it.
What we want to call it,
how
I suppose.
We've talked about it in the past.
I was trying to remember the term.
It kind of contradicts
open house.
Where you're going with this, yeah. Going out to the neighborhood and inviting people to come speak to you. Might want to call it something different.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's a good idea.
Well, and as a follow-up to this, when I was at the conference earlier this week, I actually went to a session on civic engagement and public meetings, but the public setting. And the Department of Neighborhoods in the City of Seattle did really extensive outreach to get community input from typically underrepresented groups within neighborhoods to hear their opinions, and found that it was a much more robust and better process, and in the long run streamlined things because people were heard, got good dialogue going. So then when the public meetings actually happened, there was more information and people didn't feel like, oh, I was out of the loop, I wasn't involved, I wasn't engaged, and that the benefits far exceeded the logistical challenges of going to another venue. So I thought that was very interesting, and you know, they're a much bigger size city than we are, so many more neighborhoods. So
yeah, I think Jessica raises a good point. You know, how are we going to describe what it is, and what do you as a commission want to get from it? So we kind of have to work out those expectations ahead of time so everybody knows what's supposed to happen.
I guess you could still have it a regular Planning Commission meeting and then have a portion on the agenda as kind of like a public forum.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
See what else we have.
The template?
For?
Staff reports? Were you going to talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Tell me more. I'm not sure.
Oh,
you want to talk about that?
I guess we
at
are.
At the retreat, when we're talking about background info and what you want to see for context and other things. So we're going to create more of a template for staff reports so the different project managers writing them have consistency with what you guys want, and they give you what you want.
So context and rationale, including a problem statement, things of those lines, we'll basically try to create a template.
So to have at least address the components.
Right.
That would be great. And maybe a little executive summary that is related to that problem statement. I think sometimes that helps with context.
Jack?
You know?
Or to make sure that the problem statement is an executive summary.
Yeah.
Right, well, I think there's, yeah,
they may turn out
ways
to be the same
be
thing,
done.
But if it gets to be too long, have a summarized view of it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If it's not clear from one to the other, so.
Commissioner Barnes?
I would really like to suggest or advocate for a pro and con as well. Even if it was just be a very short statement, when you guys come in with some sort of an idea, mm-hmm. lay out the pros and the cons. And I mean, I'm not.
We just don't bring it if there's cons.
Well, in some cases, that's been sort of the. I mean, that could be even the statement, right? That their staff doesn't see a downside. Staff has
well,
not identified
any. Well, if you actually
any...
feel that there is no con to it, then say no. There, we don't find anything that would be. But I mean, you
I
know,
think we can always find something.
I think you can yeah. too. And I think if you don't, the public's up to, and then we have to. Then we wind up going like that and stopping.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll encourage the public to go further by including the con. I mean, I suppose that's a danger there.
Mm. Even staff identified this as a problem.
I think it would. I mean, I always thought that that's a good way to get. You know, there's always two sides of any argument,
oh, yeah.
and you should try and weigh both sides. And I always thought it was real interesting. You could take two people that. Actually, what we used to do as an example, we'd take the person that agreed on something and have him argue against it, and the person that was against it and have him argue for it.
We'll try that next
yeah,
time
we'll,
in public
we'll,
comment.
We're gonna have to see how that works. I think
that's
for
a
the
little, taking it to an extreme.
Certainly for policy things that makes sense. For quasi judicial items,
no,
we'd have to think about how that might work.
No,
so.
The policy things. I think there's
some opportunity to consider. That one I think I'd take under consideration. Yeah.
So I think those are the big things that we came up with. We had some discussion about creating the record, about getting staff reports out earlier for comments, and we're still working our way through that to try to figure out how that might work and timing. For one of the things we're thinking about, if the commission really wants written comments in their packet, or written comment the week before the discussion or hearing, we need obviously to give people time to look at that. And you know, you give them a week, you give them 10 days, and all of a sudden we're backing up, you know, 3 weeks from the discussion. And it's a little bit difficult logistically given our manpower and what everybody's working on. But we're going to talk it through and try to figure out how we can make something happen.
And I would just add maybe a couple thoughts. I know we talked about it kind of extensively last week. I'd throw two things out there. One is that I would be very hesitant to support it, you know, kind of after thinking about it, very hesitant to support or encourage anything that makes it look like we're trying to stop someone from contributing. So I think that's sort of one comment. And then I think to help, though, with the fact that we get inundated with a lot of volume kind of the day of, we can phrase things a lot differently than saying, you know, we're going to cut it off and we're not going to give it its due course. So if we can articulate things that, you know, because our packet goes out at this time, anything that you would like the commission to have significant time to consider should be, you know, needs to be in so that they can get mailed with a packet. Otherwise, comments will be transmitted to the commission and they may not have, you know, something, you get what I'm going mm-hmm. with. It gives them an encouragement rather than the stick. It's mm-hmm. the carrot rather than the stick.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Commissioner Moss?
And I think kind of is, and I agree wholeheartedly that we really do want to encourage people to comment as early as possible. And with that, having a preliminary meeting notice so they maybe on their radar have an idea of what we're talking about, similar to our plan, knowing that it is subject to change until it's officially noticed in traditional method.
You just sparked a great idea. Is it something that we could publish the planning, this? How far in advance Is that we could have it color-coded, if you could get this, that you could have things that are color-coded in, you know, bright, I don't even know, is it published, how far out is it? Because we could color-code something that says this is, you know, set on the agenda, these are potential future topics.
Well, I have, we don't post that Excel spreadsheet on there because it changes quite often, and it's more of an internal document. But right here in the middle of the page, I take what's on that spreadsheet and type it in here.
And I think that's...
That's good.
Okay, and I think that's helpful.
What you get is kind of a placeholder, so we don't forget about it. And then we kind of massage it as we get closer to it. This is more set in stone on the website.
I think I was on that page today and didn't think...
Well, and again, I think that that's really helpful, and I guess the thought that came to mind after we had our meeting, thinking back to a couple of meetings where we've had canceled because we made incredibly wonderful progress quicker than we anticipated, which is always great, but we've got so much on our plate to try and address. Mm-hmm. I hate to miss those opportunities when we've already set that time aside. And I'm not exactly sure how staff would be able to do this, but maybe kind of having a backup game plan, that there might be things that it's like, okay, can we move this in because we've got an open meeting date? I mean, public hearings, clearly you have to do your notice, and that might be a big challenge to do something like that. But are there other things that we could fill in so that we're not having to add extra meetings, but yet we've canceled other meetings? I just think as we're looking again at doing more, trying to connect with the public more, we may be doing more going to them, just introductions, simple, not maybe necessarily the whole commission, but again, not wanting to overwhelm any of the commissioners with lots of extra responsibilities and duties. So if there's a way that you could think of what are the things that we could move forward and kind of be a little ahead of it, I think that would be helpful for us.
Yeah, we'll try.
We'd actually talked about it, and it was logistically impossible for the last one.
The last one. And, I mean, there are times where... even if you had something ready, we might find that the commission still wouldn't have been able to have made it because, you know, there was kind of the sense of things happening. But I do think that if there's even smaller things that we could address, that would maybe keep some of those future meetings from going so far out there time-wise. So that would be really helpful if you can figure out a way to do that, recognizing it's challenging.
I think our issues in the past have been we could go with one thing that would take about an hour, and the question is, was it worthwhile calling you together for an hour? So we'll
Versus adding an hour to another meeting, or I don't know.
That's a good question. That's a good way to think about it. And I'm guessing, easy for me to say now since we haven't actually gotten our game plan entirely in place for the comprehensive plan update, I'm guessing it'll be easier with that we'll be able to move things in and out. If something's not quite done, we can move something else in. Because we will have people working on various pieces all throughout the year, so I'm hoping that will make it easier too.
Thank you.
All right.
So that's what I've got.
Okay. Moving on to new business.
We might have a report from...
Well, that would be under reports of committees and commissioners.
Oh, okay. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, wait.
You thought I was moving fast.
I'm going to mention the cards, the business cards.
Oh, that is new business. Hmm. And one thing that came out of outreach was the outreach discussion was a question of if you thought it would be helpful to have business cards. We priced them. They're pretty inexpensive. It's more a question of if you're going to use them. They wouldn't have your name on it. It would just say Planning Commission.
And then have meeting information like first and third Thursdays, where it's at, what time.
the website.
About as much space as there is for information.
But you know, the real question is, do you think that that they would be useful? I'm trying to think of the context.
Why you would pass one out?
No, because it was brought up in discussion. I'm trying to think of the context.
Neighborhood meetings. Meeting people in the neighborhood meetings.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if you're at the grocery store having a conversation about land use.
Well, and when I was over at the conference the last few days, and I mean, we'll talk about that as meetings and reports as well. But the flip side of that was there were times where it would have been really nice to have had something that I could have given them, and even if I needed to write my name on it so they knew who I was. I mean, I have some personal business cards that are mine that in some cases I, you know, said, oh, you know, here's who I am. But I think there were people that would have liked to have felt a little bit awkward at times. So it's like, well, you know, what chat do you have on? And so I think that it would be helpful. Like you said, you never know when you have an opportunity to talk to somebody that you can give them just that small capsule of information.
That's true.
You could probably order one box. That's what, 500? That's probably more than we need amongst the seven of us.
We could use them for 10 years.
Right.
Yeah. As long as you guys don't change logos or things like that, they'd be good for a long time.
I think I'd be unlikely to use them, to hand one out or to use them. But I think it is a good idea to have them if they were at a meeting where people were...
So
you could put them out.
I mean, certainly even these meetings, we could have them out in the back.
Oh, yeah, just a little stack of them.
So some, people would come in, they could pick one up and send something to PlanCom and say...
The link to the website that they would be able to type in to see where the Planning Commission is, because sometimes it's difficult for... folks to navigate through websites if they're...
It is kind of a long one.
Is it a long one?
Long and ugly.
Okay. Well, I don't necessarily have a good solution for how to fix that, but...
link on the front.
But again, it may be even just the reminder that there is a website and that's a place that they could go. So even if it was just the basic website address on there, it would remind people, and it's easy to stick that in a pocket versus them...
Okay.
Taking a big packet.
Okay, well, this kind of sounds like a yes, so we'll go ahead.
Yep. Okay. Reports of committees and commissioners. Yes, Commissioner Moss?
I did attend the Washington State American Planning Association meeting. It was very interesting. I did the short course on Monday, and that was very geared towards planning commissioners, so it was helpful to learn since I am a relatively new planning commissioner. I thought they had a lot of good sessions on a wide range of topics. Sometimes it was a little difficult to decide which one to go to. With my particular interest in transportation, those were a lot of... That was a focus of mine. I also, as I mentioned, went to the one on civic engagement, which was an incredibly well-done presentation. And I did attend the presentation that Director Tovar did. I thought he was by far and large the best presenter of that. I felt like he added a little bit more meat to the bone than the other presenters, so I would just like to express that I think people... who attended came away with a really much better understanding of the city of Shoreline, and there were people there that lived near us as far as neighboring communities.
Good.
That
were there.
Commented to me afterwards were really interested because we go to Shoreline all the time. So it was very interesting and a very enriching learning experience.
Great.
Sounds good.
Maybe Mr. Saffron might have something to add. I'm putting him on the spot right now, I know.
I agree. I was there as well, and Joe was by far the best presenter at that. Far.
Ouch. All right. Agenda for October 21st?
October 21st. We're going to have the follow-up to the Southeast Neighborhood Subway Plan Implementation, the zoning recommendation, If you want a preview, you can actually go to the website. So the city's website is under Planning Commission, is it, Jessica? The Southeast Neighborhoods page?
No, it's go to the Planning Department and then Planning Projects, and then Southeast.
So that went up today. Actually, you'll read with a little note attached saying it would be good if you could get us your responses, written responses, by next week so we can include them in the packet. So we'll see how many you get. As of right now, that represents our recommendation. We'll probably tighten the recommendation up a little bit, but it's pretty close to where it's going to be. So that's a preview of that. Okay. On the 21st, there'll also be another session with the tree code. And just talked with Mr. Cohen today, right at the end of the day, and he said he'll be ready. But before that, a week from tonight, if you'd like to go to the Sound Transit Public Outreach Workshop, it will be held at the Shoreline Conference Center. And we can get you the time. I know I've actually seen something on it, but I don't remember the time.
6:30, and I do plan to go.
Okay. And I think my understanding is going to be an open house. Is that right?
When I read the flyer that they sent out, they were going to do kind of an overview, I think about 15 minutes of an overview, but they actually had kind of a planned workshop to get feedback from people.
Okay.
So less of an open house and more, I don't quite know the right word. I'm not sure that I would call it a charrette, but it did sound like it had more structure than, gee, here we're going to tell you. They wanted to hear from people as well, and there was going to be an agenda surrounding that.
So as far as we know, they're going to be asking you where the important parts of Shoreline are, and the ideas from that.
All important.
So where do you go? Where do you want to go? And from that, they're going to be designing where the alternate route should be. Our guess right now is one of the routes is going to be on I-5, one of them is going to be on 99, and then the only real question is, where's the third route going
to
be?
They were discussing Lake City as nearer to Lake City in that area as a potential. I think that was what they were talking, closer to Lake City, so who knows whether that would be.
Well, what we've heard potentially is 15th. I mean, really, the options are 15th or 5th. You know, it's very simple because they do have to get up to Montlake Terrace and Linwood,
right.
So they can't be too far east.
Yeah.
But ostensibly, they haven't picked out the routes yet. So this is going to at least give them some information. The other thing to mark on your calendar is on the 25th, there'll be a joint meeting with the City Council. And that's all on your agenda planner.
All right. If there's no other business, we are adjourned.